Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
Civil war in Ireland, currency collapse in Europe, and poisoned pie in New York. It's July 1922.
100 years from today.
World News Update. Civil war continues in Ireland with just 4 months to go till the inauguration of the Irish Free State. The anti-Free State Irish Republican Army took the city of Limerick. Now the new army of the new Irish state has recaptured the city and in some of the most intense fighting of this new war has moved into the surrounding countryside to start taking back the smaller towns.
It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest girl I know. Goodbye, Piccadilly. Farewell, Leicester Square. It's a long, long way to Tipperary, but my heart's right there.
It's not that long away to Tipperary, but nevertheless, the Free State Army has taken the town as well as Buncrana in County Donegal. The Irish Republican Army, on the other hand, has pulled off the biggest ever jailbreak in Europe. The IRA's 4th Division dynamited a hole in the wall of Dundalk Jail and bust out 105 of their men. The SKPs then captured the garrison of the jail and seized its weaponry. In retaliation, Oscar Traynor, one-time head of the Irish Republican Army's Dublin Brigade, and a number of other IRA officers have been arrested by the Free State government. For its part, Westminster is taking a relaxed view of the war between the two sides of Irish nationalism. His Majesty's governments in London and Dublin are rather focused on aligning their political theories of the process underway on the island. The Provisional Government of Southern Ireland has now suspended all sessions of the Dáil Courts, the courts of the so-called Irish Republic, which were established by Irish Republicans just 2 years ago. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. Germany's currency, the Deutschmark, has fallen to a new low against the American dollar, 650 marks to the greenback, which makes it worth less than a sixth of the penny. Currency collapse is spreading among the former central powers of the late war. In Hungary, the crown is down from 800 per US dollar to some 2,000, with commensurate rises in the Emporia of Budapest of 250%. The charismatic, rising young German politician Adolf Hitler has been released from Munich's Stadelheim prison after serving just 1 month of his 100-day sentence for assaulting the Bavarian League's Otto Ballerstedt. Herr Hitler has apparently been warned by the authorities that if he carries on in this manner, he will be deported back to Austria as an enemy alien. The warning does not seem to be having much impact. Socialist-led unions in Italy called a 24-hour general strike to pressure Prime Minister Luigi Facta's ministry into doing more to stop fascist violence. However, few workers have participated in the strike, and the net result appears to be that the socialists are discredited and the fascists even more emboldened.
Our way to love, you rule this life.
Italy's North African colonies, tribal leaders have requested that the Emir of Cyrenaica assume the additional duties of Emir of Tripolitana following the collapse of the Tripolitanian Republic. Emir Idris is said to be thinking it over, but is worried that extending his reign to Tripolitana will provoke the Italian authorities.
I've got the blues, I've got the blues, I've got the alcoholic blues. No more beer, my heart to cheer. Goodbye, whiskey, you used to make me pretty. So long, highball, so long, Jim. Oh, tell me when you're coming back again. Blue, I've got the blue, since they amputated my blue. Lordy, lordy, war is, well, you know, so I don't have to tell. Oh, I've got the alcoholic blue, the blue.
The U.S. government has got the alcoholic blues because a lot of America's alcoholics seem to be finding ways to subvert the constitutional prohibition on alcohol, especially alcohol from abroad. Nevertheless, the British government has rejected a proposal by Washington that US agents should have the right to search British vessels suspected of smuggling liquor into America outside the 3-mile limit. The United States has established diplomatic relations with the three Baltic states. Those are countries on the Baltic Sea that border Russia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. Mr. Evan Young has been named as Washington's first minister to all three nations.
Old Bill Baker, Undertaker, laughs until he almost chokes whenever anybody croaks. He's no poor flush, he's no faker. So please, Bill Baker, that is why in rhyme and why I hope to die.
Old Bill Baker, Undertaker, laughs until he almost chokes whenever anybody croaks. But what if the old baker is the very reason you're being shipped to the Undertaker? After eating dessert at the Shelburne restaurant on Broadway Street in New York, 6 diners are dead and more than 50 others are in hospital for arsenic poisoning. The victims, ranging in age from 17 to 62, were all on lunch break from their jobs. The arsenic was reportedly in the dough of the pie crust, and the baker of those pies has been arrested. Oil has been discovered. Indeed, it erupted in a tremendous gusher on the land of Charles Richardson, 4 miles north of the small town of Smackover, Arkansas. Smackover is home to just 100 people, but that seems likely to increase, and very fast. Would you like an alternative to oil? How about electricity from waterfalls? Sir Adam Beck, head of the Hydroelectric Power Commission of Ontario, has announced plans for a $100 million expansion of the Canadian power plants at Niagara Falls.
Love her by radio, you will find it radio. If you want to reach your heart's desire, you won't have to send her word by wire. Use Amplifier, love her by radio.
You can now love her by radio to the sound of advertising. In New York, station WBAY is promoting itself as the first radio broadcaster to sell its airtime for promotional use. Any member of the public can buy his way onto the airwaves for an outlay of $40 per quarter hour in the daytime and $50 in the evening. Unfortunately, so many people are telephoning the station to book airtime that it's causing an intolerable amount of static on the 500-watt broadcast signal from the American Telephone and Telegraph Building in the city. Many of us have thrilled to Anthony Hope's famous tale of the Prisoner of Zenda between hardcovers and on the stage and in two picture adaptations in the last decade. Now, there is a third screen version directed by Rex Ingram and starring Lewis Stone in the dual role of the King of Ruritania and the English lookalike called upon to take his place. Although Raymond Navarro as the swashbuckling rogue Rupert of Henso is also reported to be thrilling audiences at its premiere engagement at the Astor Theatre in New York. Variety calls it, quote, faultless. The New York World hails it as dignified elegance from start to finish, and the Chicago Tribune's man says The Prisoner of Zenda is the best picture I have ever seen. Do you like cartoons? No, not the cartoons in the funny papers, but on the picture screen, cartoons that move and can even tell a story. Now, a young producer called Walt Disney has produced a new short, a laughogram, as he calls them, telling the tale of Little Red Riding Hood. Stage meets screen. Marilyn Miller shot to fame in The Ziegfeld Follies and then became a Broadway sensation as Sally just 2 years ago. Jack Pickford, on the other hand, is not merely the kid brother of Lottie and Mary Pickford, but a fine actor in his own right, widely admired for bringing Mark Twain's Tom Sawyer to photographed life. Now the Broadway star and the Hollywood leading man are yoked in matrimony. They were wed at Pickfair, the famous home of his sister Mary and her husband Douglas Fairbanks.
Boys are all mad about Nelly, the daughter of Officer Kelly.
At a time when actual Irishmen are killing each other and blowing up their country, we could all use some traditional shamrock-hued sentimental blarney, and George M. Cohan has delivered the goods in his new musical comedy Little Nelly Kelly, now delighting audiences at Boston's Tremont Theatre on its pre-Broadway run. It tells the tale of a comely young Colleen working at a New York department store and torn between two suitors, one a swank millionaire and the other a simple Irish lad. We won't spoil it by telling you who she plumps for ultimately, but this is the song that customers are loving. In sports news, Ben Johnson, the president of baseball's American League, has proposed that the trading deadline be moved up from August the 1st to July the 1st to cut down on dodgy deals, such as the one recently made between the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Thou wilt come no more, gentle Annie, like a flower thy spirit did depart. The many that have bloomed in the summer of my heart.
Thou wilt come no more, gentle Annie, like a flower thy spirit did depart. Annie Robe was born in England to a theatrical family. Her father was a scenic artist, and her mother was Eliza Rugg, a Shakespearean actress with quite a career in the early 1870s. Annie followed her mother onto the stage at the age of 11, was playing leading roles by the Bard at the age of 17, and shortly thereafter was brought to America by Lester Wallach and became became the toast of Broadway. She retired upon her marriage in 1888 and became, as Mrs. Daniel Payne Griswold, a leading lady in society instead. But to the end, to her devoted fans, she was always known as Sweet Annie Robe.
Shall we nevermore behold thee, never hear thy winning voice again? When the springtime comes, gentle Annie,
that's the way of the world, July 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.